Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast via Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors took down the mighty Brooklyn Nets by a score of 123-117. And look, there was a lot of very, very strange COVID stuff with Kevin Durant, and I'll definitely get into that in the later half of the podcast because I don't know what the hell Adam Silver is thinking with some of the stuff that he's doing right now, but it's looking terrible. It's really shambolic, and it really just throws... It's a slap in the face, really, to everybody who's actually trying to even just put up the facade of, this being a situation where the league prioritizes health. Especially in this case where Kevin Durant played this game, played 19 minutes, wasn't supposed to play, plays, and then he has to sub out in the third quarter. Now KD's going at the NBA publicly through Twitter. It's a mess. But let's just focus on the game itself first, and then I'll touch on the KD stuff at the end. So the game itself. So no KD to start. So that's a big portion. All right. So KD checks in. 4 minutes left in the first quarter. He misses the first 8 minutes. It's the first time in his career he's come off the bench. But the Raptors start off really strong. They got to the rim at will. The Nets defense was as bad as advertised. And honestly, the Raptors dominated the Nets offensively. Raptors shot 50.5% from the field, 40.6% from three. They got to the free throw line. They didn't really get to the free throw line that much. Although they definitely did drive in a lot, but... Alas, but the Raptors didn't turn the ball over either. Only 10 turnovers. A couple of them were pretty dumb turnovers in the first half. Kyle throwing a bad pass, Pascal throwing a bad pass. But for the most part, a really, really clean game from the Raptors. The Raptors, started off great. They started off really good. Norm had like 8 of their first 10 points. Norm has been playing fantastic with the starting five. Norm had, 2 threes in transition. A driving layup, and basically the Raptors played at a pace that the Nets, I don't think, were expecting. I think the Nets are also a pretty good team playing fast, but I think the Raptors playing fast really doesn't give the Nets a chance to set up defensively, and the Raptors were able to capitalize early. Kyle was hot early on, too, and Kyle had a phenomenal game. The kind of game that makes you want to send him to the All-Star game, although, honestly, why are we having an All-Star game? This is not safe. But alas, Kyle was really hot to start too. He hit 2 pull-up threes. He had a pull-up, long two. He was doing so much for the Raptors. And the Raptors got off to a great start. I mean, the only thing that wasn't really working was Fred, who was, coming off that 54-point career high. He left all his points in Orlando, apparently, because he had a lot of open looks for three, the exact same open looks that he got in his record-breaking night, and he was just missing them today. It is what it is. But the Raptors came out really strong. Now, second quarter, the Raptors defensively really dropped off. The Nets scored 40 points. The Raptors bench came in. And, one thing with the Nets that's really scary is that they always have one of these superstars on the floor at all times. Usually two. And especially with KD being available in the second quarter, which, again, he shouldn't have been. But, okay, he was available. The Raptors just really struggled guarding them. And I think the Raptors bench especially was more lost in rotation than the Raptors starters were. The starters, I thought, for the most part, throughout the game, were pretty solid offensively, but especially defensively. Whereas the Raptors second unit just, there were lapses. And, the Raptors defensive strategy coming into this game was, okay, so even though the Nets have these three players, James Harden is the guy who has the ball the most. He is the point guard for this team. He sets up most of their plays. He initiates most of their offense. And so the Raptors were going to always pressure James Harden as much as they possibly can. Obviously, when they have all the stars out there, you're not just going to leave Kyrie. You're not just going to leave KD. But you are going to try as much as possible to send two at James Harden. And the Raptors did that. But the Nets did a really good job of moving the ball in the second quarter. A lot of their shooters got open. Landry Shamet got open for 4 threes. You know, Timothée Luawo-Cabarrut was getting open for threes. Joe Harris is getting open for threes. And it was very similar to when the Raptors played Houston last year. I remember, you know, again, sweet pre-pandemic times of December of 2019. Of 2020, sorry. No, 2019. Yeah, it was 2019. Jeez, we have been in pandemic for a while. But, you know, it was the Raptors were just hard trapping James Harden all game. Now, it wasn't as aggressive as, like, we're going to send two guys at Harden at half court. But, you know, the Raptors did send multiple bodies. And the calculus the Raptors had was basically the Nets perimeter guys aren't going to be able to make enough threes. And I think it's going to be worth it to shut down Harden, keep him away from the free throw line. He still got there, you know, nine times because he gets a very favorable whistle. He can just throw his arms up at half court, and that's a foul. But, you know, Chris Boucher getting slapped across both arms, and you can hear it around that empty arena, over the crowd, the fake crowd noise, no foul, nothing. But, you know, weirdly enough, you look at the results, you might say, okay, you know, Harris, you shouldn't leave him open for three. He is, like, you know, 45% three-point shooter, shot 5 of 8 from three today. Shamet is a good three-point shooter. You know, Jeff Green is even a good three-point shooter. Sometimes, you know, Luawo-Cabarrut is a good three-point shooter. We saw that in the playoffs last year. What are you doing? But at the same time, it kind of worked. I mean, just second quarter there was really sloppy. I think guys were a little bit late in rotating. Basically, Nick was saying, we send two guys at the ball, and then we try to scramble and rotate, which is, generally speaking, what the Raptors do phenomenally. That's what they do against most team star players, is they really, really aggressively try to take out one guy. They force other players to try to make plays, and that generally works for them. But, yeah, and today I think it was kind of the same deal. Just in the second quarter there, it was not working. All right, Raptors gave up 40 points. Thankfully, the Nets defense doesn't exist, and so the Raptors just hope to keep the lead. The Raptors had 67 points at halftime and held a 4-point advantage. But I thought the second half, the Raptors played a lot better defensively. Now, of course, Kevin Durant being subbed out of the game because midway through the game, because apparently he had come into contact with someone who had tested positive for COVID. You know, that's going to affect things because, you know, KD's one of the best players in the world, if not the best player in the world. So he's out of the game. And that, of course, changes a lot of stuff. But, you know, the flow of the third quarter also kind of was really choppy. It almost favored the Raptors in a way because, you know, it was comical. Honestly, it was very comical to see what was going on. In the third quarter alone, there were 4 jump balls. And keep in mind, you jump the ball off at the start of the game, but you're not going to jump the ball off in the third quarter unless you have multiple sequences in which the Raptors and Nets, for some reason, just have to decide possession. And, you know, one of those sequences, the Raptors scramble, they get on the floor. There was a jump ball between Kyrie and Fred VanVleet. There was like 2 technicals called during that jump ball between Fred and then Nick Nurse. So the Nets somehow got 2 free throws out of that. But then they jumped the ball once. The Raptors win the jump ball. They're going on the fast break. One of the referees is like, nope, stop the play. We got to jump the ball again. And it's like, why? Why you got to jump the ball again? So the Raptors had to jump the ball again. This time, I think the Raptors won it again. And then there's another jump ball after, you know, Norman Powell gets out on the fast break. Kyle throws him a hit ahead pass. Initially, the foul was called on KD. That was going to be his 5th foul. And KD was real mad about it. Steve Nash, which is so strange that Steve Nash is a coach. But Coach Steve Nash decides to use the coach's challenge. And, you know, honestly, they did review the play. KD got to the ball first. Yes, he went through Norm's body to get there. But, okay, it's KD's 5th foul. They reversed the call. Although, shortly after that, KD was told to not come back into the game because of that COVID thing. So, okay. But that created a jump ball because when you win a coach's challenge, you know, especially when it's about a foul, you're generally going to jump the ball up. The Raptors jumped the ball up. I think Joe Harris got an open 3 because the guys can rotate well enough. And then, finally, to end the quarter, there was another play where the Raptors tie up one of the Nets along the baseline. The ball goes out of bounds. I think it was Kyrie again trying to go in for a drive, and the Raptors collapsed on him. They tied him up going up, and the ball kind of went out at the same time, both on Kyrie and on, you know, Fred. And so they jumped the ball up if you believe it or not, for the fourth time in that quarter. And it was just a very sloppy game. The officials, the officiating was not very good. This was the same officiating crew that was officiating the Raptors' loss to Milwaukee. You remember that game from Kyle Lowry getting tossed by the officials at the end of the game. Not a very good explanation given either by the officials or by the team as to what specifically happened. But, it was that same crew, and there were some very questionable decisions, absolutely. I mean, at one point, at halftime, the Raptors had shot 3 free throws, and the Nets had shot 17. And I understand that the Nets have some very dangerous players, including James Harden, who obviously is just contractually owed, 10 free throws a game by virtue of his contract and status in the league. And, of course, there's Kyrie, there's Kevin Durant. Of course, it's hard to guard this team. And the Raptors were living in the paint, and still somehow they weren't getting calls. Again, 17-3. That is as lopsided as I had seen. But alas, that third quarter, I think the Raptors just really settled into that third quarter, though, after a bit of that choppy start with the officiating and all the jump balls, largely because they played through Pascal. Pascal was awesome in this game. Really, really good. He was sharp to start the game as well. He was seeing a lot more double teams at the start of the game, and so he was picking out passes, finding Baines. He really should have found Baines twice for layups. One layup Baines missed, which Baines is going to miss one inexplicable layup every game. Today he missed two. There was also Kyle Lowry set him up for a wide open layup and in transition, and he missed it. It drew back iron. But alas, Baines is actually getting more solid, so I really have no real complaints aside from the two missed shots. But Pascal was, making great passes, kicking it out to guys, Kyle, Norm, doing a good job. But the only thing was the small little bunnies weren't really dropping, and it was kind of a frustrating night because that he's not really going to shoot the three these days, and he's really going to have to rely on the paint. The one thing that concerned me was that the Nets also knew that. Obviously, professional NBA teams like that, they're going to scout. They're going to see Pascal's last few games. They're going to go, this guy's not shooting threes anymore. We should not guard him on the perimeter. So there was a little bit of that that 6 feet, there was some real separation going on COVID-wise with how they guarded Pascal. I mean, that's honestly how everyone should have been guarding KD. I think I would feel a lot happier if people kept that physical distance. But that's what they were doing. KD was guarding Pascal. KD was 6 feet off. Jeff Green was guarding him. He was off. Guys were just sagging back. And Pascal had the opportunity to launch those threes. We've seen teams do that to Pascal in the past. And we've seen Pascal step into those threes in the past. But today he just completely refused those, just like he had been in the last few games. That is a little bit concerning because I do think that teams giving him so much space, is going to kind of clog the lane a little bit for everyone else, considering the fact that in the starting five, you're not going to, no one plays Aaron Baines at all because you shouldn't. He's not a threat to score. And if they're not also, trying to press up on Pascal as well, then all of a sudden you have two front court guys who are not spacing the floor. It's going to make it very hard for the drive and kick game, for Fred to get inside, for Kyle to get inside. Norm, a little bit less because he's so much more athletic than the other two guys, but, that could be a problem for the other guys. But I will have to say, though, it does seem to play into Pascal's hands a little bit. And what I mean by that is, I think, honestly, the best way to guard Pascal is not to just, drop off and sag. I think the best way is to put the perimeter defender on him, like a wing player, like a small forward type, press up, try to attack Pascal's handle, because Pascal's handle is really, really loose, and it has been loose this season. Try to bump him so that because the handle is loose, he doesn't always get to his spots, and so you can kind of keep him from getting into his spots. You can kind of, stop him and stop the Raptors' step usually before he even gets into his move, if you can really, really have someone who can pressure the handle. And then afterwards, you have to send help at the basket, because Pascal is generally not going to force it over two guys, and when he does, he's not going to make it. So that is a better strategy than what the Nets were doing, which was just, okay, early on he was picking out guys, picking out passes, so okay, let's play him single coverage, let's drop back, let's try to play him to drive. I mean, that plays right into Pascal's hands. Pascal doesn't really want to drive all the way to the basket like a Ben Simmons would, right? The difference between when you sag back on Ben or you sag back even on Giannis a little bit is when those guys drive in and they're met with resistance at the basket, they kind of just, kick the ball out, which is fine-ish, but it does really neutralize these guys. Whereas with Pascal, if you sag back and you allow Pascal to drive and get to the painted area, that's all Pascal wants to do in the first place. That's why he, that's what he wants to do, is set up shop in the post and score. And especially with the Nets, they don't play that much of DeAndre Jordan because I guess they like whatever Jeff Green brings, which is sometimes he scores at an efficient rate that, to offset his defensive deficiencies, but most times he doesn't. But yeah, they took DeAndre Jordan off the floor, and that was the only guy in the whole game who was giving Pascal any pause. I mean, Pascal was going to all these guys. Kevin Durant guarding him. KD's bigger than him. Pascal still scored a layup over him. You know, Harden, Kyrie, all these guys scoring over him. Bruce Brown, easy, you know. And yeah, Pascal was just getting to his spots and just scoring at will. That third quarter, 15 points for Pascal, almost exclusively in the post. Especially towards the end of that quarter, you know, Pascal was just go to Pascal over and over and over again. And the Nets, I mean, they just don't have any interior defending, especially with Jared Allen out in that trade, which really wish the Raptors somehow got in there and scooped him up. Although I guess there is still free agency, but yeah, Pascal was thriving. And honestly, to end that third quarter, I think Kyrie ended up guarding Pascal, and Pascal hit him with the spin move. Kyrie dropped to the ground, and Pascal hit a turnaround mid-range two to right at the buzzer there to give the Raptors you know, a two-point lead heading into the fourth quarter. And that's where the Raptors really turned to Kyle Lowry to close, because even though it was Fred and the bench to start the fourth quarter, the Raptors, Nick Nurse very, very smartly put in his main guys to close that game early. And what I mean by that is sometimes he'll wait. You know, he'll usually ride Kyle and Pascal throughout the third quarter. And then he'll wait, you know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes sometimes before those guys come back in. You know, you got to give them some rest, especially with the back-to-back coming up tomorrow. Having said that, though, the game was right there. And the Nets were, especially to be in the first half, they really killed the Raptors' bench. And so Nurse went back to Kyle and Pascal back into the game, only giving them short 3 minute rests. And it worked out great because honestly, Kyle was just ridiculous in this game. He was so good down the stretch. He made three threes in the fourth quarter. A lot of those are pull up threes as well. You know, especially with Fred misfiring, you know, you really needed Kyle to run the show there. You know, he found, you know, Pascal for a layup at the end. Really, really great pass, driving in, drawing the defense, kicking it to Pascal, layup. I think that clinched the Raptors. That made it a two possession game, and really, really put the bow on this whole very, very strange game of basketball play between these two games, these two teams. Kyle found Boucher. Kyle was stealing the ball. Kyle was rebounding the ball offensively, defensively. Kyle was awesome. Like literally every single time the Raptors needed anything in the clutch, Kyle Lowry was there. And it does not, it's not beyond me that the fact that, you know, you see in a game where there was Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant on the other side, that the Raptors held Kyle, the Raptors had the best player on the floor. Kyle Lowry was the best player on the floor tonight. And, you know, of course that, you know, I'm not saying Kyle is a better player than James Harden or Kevin Durant or even Kyrie, honestly. Kyrie has some real scoring chops, although that one's debatable there between who's the more effective player. But, I mean, you know, Kyle was performing like the best player on the floor tonight. And he was awesome down the stretch. Really, really made so many big plays for the Raptors. This is after he, you know, classic don't poke the bear moment. He was guarding in the post down low. Bruce Brown was in there. Bruce Brown was doing a really good job of cutting into space and finishing because the Raptors were ignoring him because he's not a shooter. He elbows Kyle Lowry on the cheek, similar to the way Sean Livingston did Fred VanVleet. Kyle's cut open, and Kyle gets a Band-Aid, and yeah, you poke the bear. This is what happens. Kyle Lowry dominates, and Kyle was playing a great game. But really, it was just a great game all around. I thought Nick's game plan was really smart. Like, the fact that James Harden played 40 minutes and took 8 shots is outrageous. It's outrageous, you know, and that's really, really good defensively. You know, I think, especially in this game, because he played that strategy where there was two guys on the ball against Harden a lot of the times, and that leaves a 4-on-3 advantage for the Nets elsewhere, you're going to need a lot of athleticism, you need a lot of energy to compensate for the rest of that. And the guy Nick leaned on the heaviest was Chris Boucher, who had one of his best games. You know, he's quietly fallen into a slump of late after his really, really hot start. But today he was phenomenal, plus 15 in 27 minutes. And, you know, the Raptors just really needed his athleticism to cover all that ground. Because when you're playing 4-on-3, you're going to need somebody like Boucher who has the unique ability to guard at the rim, and especially as a help defender, meet guys at the basket, block people, and he definitely had a couple of blocks tonight, while also being able to fly out to the perimeter and challenge and change shots and deter shots, and he blocked a three as well tonight. So, you know, it worked out really well. Boucher also really stepped up. And, yeah, it was just a really good game. And listen, even Pascal stepped up, man. Pascal had a really impressive block on Bruce Brown. It was initially called a foul because, of course, it was by this hating-ass crew. But the Raptors reviewed it, and it was a clean block. Another jump ball for the Raptors. I loved it. I love jump balls, man. You know, Pascal getting to, his hands in the passing lanes and steals. Again, it plays into Pascal's strength as well, right? Because Pascal is kind of like can bring a lot of what Boucher does, especially for that starting unit. And yeah, it was just a great game. And even Norm Powell, like Norm had a great game tonight in terms of him guarding James Harden, pressuring him. I mean, listen, when Harden only has 8 shots, you know, that really is really impressive. So just a really good game of the Raptors, just a really good game in basketball. Obviously, the circumstances with KD being in foul trouble, never really getting into the game, coming in and out due to the health safety protocols or lack thereof, that obviously screwed the Nets up in terms of their rotations. But it's not easy to beat this team. The Nets obviously have so much talent, and the Raptors did a really good job, didn't play scared, took it right to the Nets from start to finish, and they deserve the win. I was very happy with the result. In terms of your 3 stars, I'm going to give Kyle Lowry the first star. 30 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, plus 12, 38 minutes, 12 of 18 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, no free throws despite getting cut open. All right, cool. Yeah, Kyle was awesome, especially in the fourth quarter there. He was really, really dominant. And also set the tone for the Raptors at the start of the game, too. So I love that. This is, you know, a perfect Kyle Lowry game. And one of the reasons you should send him to the All-Star game, but not actually send him to the All-Star game. Please, all right, Kyle, don't do this. Clearly, the NBA has no idea what they're doing with their protocols. In terms of the second star, I'm giving that to Pascal. 33 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 12 of 23 from the field. Didn't hit any threes, but 9 of 10 from the free throw line. Loved how much he was going at the Nets, you know, forcing the officials to call fouls. And yeah, I mean, people listen. People want to joke about the spin move. Listen, Pascal's decision-making should be very straightforward, okay? It's in his first name. It's pass spin, all right? That's it. Those are the 2 options, right? You're either passing the ball because of the double team coming, or if you see a double team coming, you got to make a quick early pass, which is great. Pascal did that, 6 assists tonight. Or you spin and you score, and that's Pascal. So pass spin, Siakam with the second star. And then third star, I really want to give Norm this because I thought Norm played a really good game. 18 points, 5 rebounds, the on-ball defense against Harden came out really strong, you know, had some buckets late in the game too, but you got to give it to Chris Boucher, man. Chris was awesome. The Raptors don't win this game without Chris with a guy like his skill set. 17 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, 4 crests, 8 of 14. That should really be 8 of 13 with 2 more free throw attempts for him because he got hammered by James Harden right before halftime, no call. Chris hits a 3 as well. But yeah, I just loved his defense, his energy going around, rotating to the basket, helping on the ball, you know, closing out the 3-point shooters. And of course, just as a finisher in the pick and roll, listen, it's not hard to stop to score on the Nets, especially with Kyle Lowry setting you up. But Boucher was doing a really good job of rolling. You know, there's a game that I think against the Nets, or no, against the Bucks, where Kyle and Boucher had that conversation after, you know, they screwed up a pick and roll, it was a turnover, and Kyle was telling Boucher, like, yo, just, you know, read the play. Come on, like, make the right play, right? If 2 guys step up to me, you're gonna have to roll, a short roll, be open, Kyle's gonna throw the lob. You know, they miscommunicated there, but now the 2 of them have connected really well together. Boucher today was really good at just setting that screen, reading how the defense was playing it, and just going. And Kyle was obviously always a very willing passer, but Boucher was able to catch, capitalize, and finish in the paint. So a good win by the Raptors.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're a Gerald Henderson Award winner, there's a few places you can go with this one. I thought Bruce Brown was very active with his cutting, and he had 13 points tonight, although I didn't really think he was that good. Landry Shamet had a really hot stretch, but he really cooled off in the second half. So I'll give it to Joe Harris, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He's a very deadly player. And he's, in terms of a fourth guy on this Nets team, you would really want someone like Joe Harris. The only thing this Nets team is really missing is a defender who can hold this whole team together. But I don't know. They might just be out of assets to do that. But honestly, even still, they might have enough, to be honest. In a playoff setting with three isolation scorers like Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, I don't know. Even after this game, I'm still very afraid of the Nets. And finally, to close the podcast, I don't understand what the NBA was doing with their COVID protocols here. I just don't understand what they were doing. It's so irresponsible. It's ridiculous, okay? So this is a situation that happened before the game, shortly before the game, right? This is after warm-ups, all this other stuff that happened. The NBA announces, through the reporters and stuff like that, but the NBA announces KD's not available to start this game due to contact tracing. And you can say, okay, that's worrisome because he had been on the court, he had warmed up. He obviously spent a lot of times with his teammates, probably in the locker room with the team that was going to play. But you know what? That's fine. At least they caught it in time. He's not going to play. That's cool. Then, 8 minutes into the game, the first quarter, KD checks into the game off the bench. And what they say at the time is, it's all good. KD tests a negative. It's just that someone that he was in close proximity with had a questionable result. And it's like, okay, that's iffy. I mean, maybe you just stay on the safe side when you have two teams who are playing a game. But okay, all right, fine. KD comes to the game, he plays, and then third quarter, he leaves the game because the NBA now says, oh, that person he was in close contact with, turns out they did return a positive test. And of course, KD himself, he shouldn't be able to test positive anymore. He's had COVID, and so he should have the antibodies. But I guess he could still spread. So then he comes out of the game, and then it's just a whole mess. The NBA puts out a statement, once that test was confirmed positive, out of an abundance of caution, Durant was removed from the game, and contact tracing is underway to determine if he was, in fact, a close contact of the positive individual. Stop using this phrase, out of an abundance of caution, man. It's not fooling anybody, man. Even Kevin Durant himself is going on Twitter saying, free me, like literally tweeted out, free me. And then in response to this statement, Kevin Durant said, yo, at NBA, your fans aren't dumb. You can't fool them with your whack-ass PR tactics. So he's not happy. This is one of the stars of the league. Earlier today, after it was announced that, of course, in the first round of All-Star voting, blah, 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 we're just going to go forward with All-Star voting, they asked LeBron, and LeBron was like, no, I don't want to play at the All-Star game. I mean, of course, I'll go because I'm a professional, but I don't want to go. We negotiated before the season that we're not going to play the All-Star game. We're not going to have time to rest. It's not safe. But okay, so what is the NBA doing? Like, are you guys taking COVID seriously? Please, because you put out statements like, all right, finally, we've been doing weekly tests of, the players, and first week it was like 30 players positive, then it was like 10, then it was like 5, then it was like 2, then 1, and then finally 0. What are you doing? Like, you have to play it on the safe side. How is there a loophole in the protocol where there's clearly was an inconclusive test, maybe it was happening concurrently with the game or something like that, but if there is even a doubt of a situation, You have to play on the safe side because you are jeopardizing a whole team. It's not fair to the Raptors. It's not fair to anybody on the Nets, all right, first off. It's definitely not fair to the Nets, but at least KD's on that team. There's no way he's not going to be in the locker room, right? He was in the locker room before the game. He was in the locker room at halftime, and, you know, who knows? He left the game without a mask. Presumably put on a mask and was separated from the rest of the team, but, you know, that's a situation, okay? So at least that's somewhat unavoidable because KD's on their team. And I guess he found out late. The NBA found out late. Okay, whatever. But for the Raptors, like, what is this? Like, the Raptors have worked, obviously, very hard, as most teams have, to minimize cases. And thankfully, the Raptors, you know, did not have any positive cases, at least that we know of, right? But at least the Raptors have not had players missing time due to COVID this year. We've had Norm sit for 3 or 4 practices because of, you know, potential tracing situation. It turns out, I mean, he was never positive, but he might have been, you know, testing someone positive, but whatever, that turned out to be fine, right? And I think Alex Len, while he was on the team, missed a couple of games due to, like, against contact tracing again right before he was cut. But the Raptors have thankfully avoided this, right? And that's a good thing. Why the hell are you bringing this kind of situation onto the team? It's not fair. It puts the players in a terrible situation. And that's firmly on the league, right? The players have agreed to play. The players know the risks. And the players are going forward with it. And the teams are putting on these games. And that's fine. I have no issues with that, right? They're consenting adults. This is America. This is how it works. It's fine. But, like, that's contingent on the fact that the NBA actually has a handle on the situation. And this kind of thing where KD doesn't play to start, then he plays, then he comes out, then he's roasting the league, then he's all this other stuff. Like, it just makes him, it looks like a clown show. And, like, what is Adam Silver doing, man? Like, what are you doing? Like, you need to have better protocols than this. And, you know, the Raptors play to play are in the stretch where they play 5 games in 7 nights. They're playing the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow in Atlanta, right? You know, I think the game's going to go on, but you just don't know. And it's a needless risk. Honestly, Kevin Durant shouldn't have played today. If the NBA even had an inkling that Kevin Durant was potentially in contact with someone who was positive, don't play. Don't play. And I understand everyone gets tested. That's fine, man. But, you know, there's just, it's irresponsible. And the thought that the Raptors were even put into the situation is just, it's really shitty, man. It's really, really shitty. And the NBA, honestly, like, answer for yourselves, man. Like, this is not acceptable. So, at least the Raptors got the win. The Raptors are now at 10-12 on the season. Pascal obviously has really found his groove again, which is great. He found his groove on the Western Conference road trip, but then he missed those 2 shots, and then, you know, whatever. You know, he had been quiet for a little bit. Now he's obviously been thriving the last few games. Kyle, you know, shows you why he's an all-star, and yeah, just a great win. Honestly, I think guys are turning around a little bit. You know, Baines, I think he's settling into the rotation. He's doing what is expected of him and what's needed of him. Bembry has really emerged. I didn't even talk about Bembry that much, but he had a couple of really nice passes, including probably the pass of the game where Kyle Lowry drove, Bembry read it, cut along the baseline to meet Kyle at the basket, dump off pass to Bembry, defense rotates over to Bembry, Bembry slides the pass over to Boucher in the dunker spot, Boucher dunks it. Great play. Bembry has been a really solid player who's fit in seamlessly. And yeah, hopefully the Raptors are, you know, knock on wood, like, seriously, knock on wood, but, like, hopefully they're all safe and they're ready to go because they won 3 straight. There's still a pretty good team in there. And yeah, you know, this season is super fake. So I hope the Raptors can capitalize a little bit more and continue going because this is a long road trip. It's a tough road trip. But if they can actually get through this, you know, I thought this would be one of the hardest games of the road trip because you look at this Raptors schedule, you know, they obviously played the Nets today. They play the Hawks tomorrow, and the Hawks are actually okay. And then they play the Grizzlies, the Wizards, the Celtics, the Timberwolves. Like, the Nets were probably the toughest game in that stretch. The Celtics always give the Raptors issues, so maybe that's the toughest one. But these are one of the 2 games that I thought the Raptors were for sure going to lose. And so if the Raptors can take this game, carry that momentum over, hopefully everyone's healthy, they can really come out of this stretch with a string of nice games. So hopefully the Raptors do that. So thanks for everyone for listening. Great game by the Raptors. Terrible handling by the NBA. And yeah, I'll be back. We'll see. But I'll be back tomorrow to recap the Raptors-Hawks game if that is indeed going on. So once again, thanks everyone for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. And yeah, check back tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.